Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we got an interesting spot coming up here. If you are a baseball fan, been a baseball fan for the last 15, 20 years, you're going to recognize the name of our next guest. He came up as one of the most sought-after prospects in baseball, dealing and in the big leagues, pitching in the postseason play by age 21. Had a little bit of a left turn in his career and became a power-hitting outfielder. And his new book, The Phenomenon, Pressure, Yips, and the Pitch That Changed My Life, is the tale of Rick Ankiel. He and Tim Brown got together and co-authored the book. And Rick Ankiel, good enough to join us here on CBS Sports Radio. Rick, Jody Mack in New York. How are you, bud?
I'm good, Jody Mack. How you doing?
Very good. Before we talk about some of the things that are in the book, how did the book come about? Was it something that you always wanted to do, that you thought about while you were playing, when your career finally ended just a couple of years ago? You decided, let me see if I could do something like this. Was it a suggestion to you that your tale was so interesting and took a different turn from so many different baseball players, it had to be done? How did you decide to go about doing this book with Tim Brown?
A little bit of all that is what happened. You know, I had offers to write a book when I was still playing, and I just didn't think the timing was right. I also had an offer to make a movie, but, you know, the timing wouldn't have been right. I felt like it would have been a distraction for me, but not only for me, but for my teammates. And, you know, towards the end of my career that last year, then I started to realize, okay, you know, now the timing's going to be right when I'm done playing. You know, one of the things is, too, is that as an athlete, you're taught to have this game face and never show anybody what's going on inside of you and keep all your emotions to yourself. Out there on the field. So there's no way I'd have been able to open up and reveal what I did in the book while I still had a uniform on.
Rick, as I mentioned, you were one of the top prospects in baseball and came very quickly through the minor league system of the Cardinals to make it to the big leagues by age 21. Was the fact that success came so easy to you and you were at the big leagues, in the big leagues at such a young age, part of what contributed to your eventual downfall as a pitcher, do you believe?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, all the way up through the minor leagues and even through that first year, I mean, I was dominating and really I was young and felt invincible. I didn't even know what the word anxiety meant until that following season in 2001. But leading up to the playoffs, even down the stretch there, that last month I was pitcher of the month and heading into the playoffs, I had as much confidence as I could have had. And, you know, unfortunately, things happened, and wild pitches happened, thing happened, whatever you want to call it, and it was something that I had to deal with.
Yeah, the subtitle, The Pitch That Changed My Life. What was that pitch?
You know, I threw about the third inning, I threw a fastball in, and when I would throw fastballs in, I had some natural cut on it, and it really wasn't that bad of a pitch, but the catcher missed it, and in the back of my mind, I thought, man, I just threw a wild pitch on national TV. And, you know, I pushed that away and just kept pitching. And a couple pitches later, things just started to unravel. I spiked the curveball. Then I started bouncing balls off the backstop. And you know, at the time, I had no idea what was going on. And I even remember mentioning to the media after the game, hey, it's a mechanical flaw. This will never happen again. I'm going to get rid of this. But little did I know that wasn't the case. And little did I know what the next 4 years of my life was going to be like trying to battle this stuff.
What did your catcher and your pitching coach say to you on that day?
You know, they just put their arm around me and tried to get me to keep my head high. You know, I think it's one of those things where they didn't know what to say. You know, you can't not say anything, but they're not sure what to say. Like I said, I was so young at the time, I didn't understand. You know, them being in the game longer, I think they probably had a better idea of this. This could possibly be career-ending. You know, you just don't know, but I didn't know that. And looking back, you know, it wasn't just hard for me, but it's hard for everybody. You know, when you have somebody that you care about, and as everybody out there knows, you know, as an athlete, especially as a baseball player, you know, you spend more time with your teammates than you do your own family, and they become your second family. So to watch somebody, your teammate, somebody you care about, go through something like that. It's tough for everyone.
When did it start to kick in? When did you know that this isn't just a bad day? This isn't just a mechanical thing. This is something that is a problem between my ears, and I'm just not handling this right. When did you come to the decision, I'm going to need some help trying to get over this?
You know, after game, I started the game two that I started in the playoffs against the Mets in the next series, and it happened again. You know, that's when I knew, but I was still in denial a little bit. You know, I still thought that I could beat it with mechanics. My hope, we ended up losing that series to the Mets. My hope was, hey, because it's the offseason, I'm going to have a couple months to get away from the game, you know, not have to think about it. And I was hoping when I showed back up in 2001 that I would show up and be myself again. And, you know, the closer that 2001 got, when I started to play catch, I realized this hasn't gone away. And if anything, it's in me darker and deeper. And, you know, I called my agent, Scott Boris, and said, hey, look, I need help. And, you know, during the whole offseason, he was trying to get me to give Harvey Dorfman a call, who was a sports psychologist. And I guess I just kept putting it off. I didn't want to do it. But then as we got closer to 2001, I realized I need help. And then I made the call and called Harvey Dorfman.
How much did Harvey Dorfman help you? It didn't return you to greatness on the mound by any stretch of the imagination, but the thought process that you went through to try and get over what your problems were, how much did that play in your ability to eventually come to the decision, all right, if I'm not going to be a pitcher, I was a damn good ice hitter in high school. I still want to play Major League Baseball. I want to go in another direction.
Yeah, that's right. Tremendous. I owe everything and more to Harvey Dorfman. You know, really, he became a father figure in my life and a positive male role model. And I owe so much to him. You know, it's incredible. But, you know, you're right. I came back and pitched respectably in 04 out of the bullpen after elbow surgery. And then what it took for me to come back and do that, you know, it was all day mental focus and training, and it just wasn't healthy. And that's when in 05 spring training, you know, I knew that pitching wasn't for me and I needed to go another direction, and that's when the outfield thing came about.
And how difficult was that for you? As I mentioned, you're a great high school player and you're a great pitcher and player, and the Cardinals decided they thought you were better off as a pitcher. That's why they drafted you that way and developed you that way. But you said, I continue to want to play, and I'd like the chance to be able to prove to you that I can hit and play the outfield and the like. When did that decision come?
That was in 2005, spring training. And, you know, the pitching thing would just became too much, and I realized there's no way, you know, if it's going to take all this to be a pitcher, you know, the next 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 8 years, whatever was going to come of it, I knew I needed to make a change. And then I made the change to the outfield, and it was tough. Really hard, you know, just the amount of training that I had to do, early work and late work and figuring out how to play the outfield and angles and where to throw the ball, when to be where, when the cutoff man's going to be there, all that, you know, it was really hard. But it's funny because as soon as I made the decision not to be a pitcher, I felt like this giant weight got taken off my chest and my shoulders and I could breathe again. So the challenge of becoming an outfielder was fun, and it was hard, but it was fun. It wasn't near as grueling or mentally grueling as it was those 4 years trying to be successful as a pitcher.
Now, there are a whole bunch of players that are hearing this interview going, wait a minute, not mentally grueling. The game is meant, don't build up these pitchers. They're getting me out at a record clip. Don't make it sound like their job is that much harder than ours, Rick. Being an everyday player, you have to be just as mentally focused and as tough. How difficult was it for you to change camps, to go from palling out with the pitchers? Because there is a natural divide. I've been in enough major league locker rooms in my life to know pitchers and players, while they're teammates, they're family members, but they're estranged, at least in part. How difficult was it to become one of the other guys?
You know, it's funny. I remember the first day I walked in, when I got back and I was going to be, you know, try to make the comeback as an outfielder, and I went over to Jim Edmonds and said, hey, what do you think? And his immediate response was, well, welcome to the dark side, which was funny. We both had a good laugh. Yeah, you're right. There's definitely different. It's different, you know, physically it's different because your body, you're out there every day. But, you know, one thing that's nice about it, I will say, as a hitter, you know, if you're 3 for 10, you're a Hall of Famer. So it's okay to fail. And, you know, for me, being all the stress and everything that I went through trying to figure out how to throw strikes and do that as a pitcher. You know, it was nice to switch over to that side and be able to fail a couple times because, you know, as a hitter, you're going to. So, the challenges are definitely different. They're definitely both hard. I love them both for different reasons. But I wouldn't change it for the world. And now I'm the guy who gets to say, look, it's hard enough to make it to the big league once, but I made it twice at two different positions.
The name of his book is The Phenomenon, Pressures, the Yips, and the Pitch to Change My Life by Rick Ankiel and Tim Brown. Great read. I still think of you as a Cardinal. Yes, in the later stages of your career, you joined the Royals and the Braves, and you hit a big home run. I got a tweet from a big Brave fan said, tell Rick we remember the home run that he hit for us, and the Nats and the Astros and the Mets, but I will always think of you as a Cardinal. That's where you started as a pitcher, and that's where you started as an outfielder as well. The St. Louis fans get a lot of credit. There's, quote-unquote, the Cardinal way in St. Louis, and they're one of the most positive, reinforced fan bases in all of baseball. Do you think you could have done what you did in another town other than St. Louis?
You know, maybe not. And I don't know if we'll ever be able to answer that question, but I can certainly say, you know, the St. Louis fans supported me through thick and thin. And, you know, I can't thank them enough. And I'm with you. I look at myself as a Cardinal, too. And I raised my kids to be Cardinal fans. You know, they were with me. I was here 11 years. And like I said, they just supported me on with everything I went through. And to be able to, you know, when I finally made it back as an outfielder and a hitter in 2007, you know, to come back and hit that home run in game one in front of the home crowd, in front of the fans, the organization, my teammates, all that, to do it here in St. Louis was so special. And it's just something I'll never forget.
I remember a game. I don't know if it was against the Mets, but I don't remember if it was a Cardinal or a Brave. When you threw a guy out basically from the warning track, trying to tag up and go in second or third, how much pride did you take in your outfield arm when you made that transition, knowing you could throw with absolutely anybody in baseball when it came to the outfield?
Oh, I worked on it. I worked on it daily. I never let a day go by that I didn't work on it because here, you know, the thing about it is my arm was the thing that almost ran me out of the game. And once I switched over to the outfielder, now it was a deadly weapon again. You know, it's funny because, you know, I was more accurate from 300 feet than I was 60 feet. And you're exactly right. Anytime I had a chance to throw somebody out, you know, there was a part of me inside begging those guys to go. If there was a chance or some play that I thought I was going to have a chance, I was begging, please go so I got a chance to throw you out.
You had a hell of an outfield arm. Last thing, the Japanese Babe Ruth, a young man, Shohei Ohtani, is probably going to come over to the major leagues within a year, if not 2 years. And he is both a phenomenal pitcher and hitter in the Japanese league right now. And it is well reported that he wants to try and do both when he comes to the big leagues. You did both, but as two different careers. If he asked you, if someone called in, Rick, would you have a chance to talk to this young man and maybe share something that would help him make the transition to the big leagues as both a pitcher and a hitter, what would you say to him?
I'd say do both. Follow your dreams. You know, I've read about this guy, and he's definitely talented. I think it would be so cool to see somebody do both. You know, the one thing that I always say, if you choose one, and there's something in the back in your heart and in your mind saying that you want to do the other, go do it. Because you don't want to end your career, run out of time playing, and say, you know, I wish I would have gave, let's say he chooses pitching, and says, man, I wish I would have gave hitting a shot, and I never did. I wouldn't want to live with regret, and I certainly wouldn't want somebody else to if they have the talent to do both.
The name of the book is The Phenomenon, Pressures, the Yips, and the Pitch to Change My Life by Rick Ankiel and Tim Brown. Rick, best of luck with the book. Great to catch up and talk to you. Thanks much for a couple minutes of your time.
All right, Mac. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
My pleasure. That's Rick Ankiel, former Cardinal standout pitcher and hitter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.